This week on Vaticano, take part in an interreligious meeting at the Palazzo delle Rovere in Rome, where Christian, Jewish, and Muslim leaders discuss how to build a culture of encounter in the Holy Land. Experience the musical masterpiece, The Dream of Gerontius, based on a poem by St. John Henry Newman at the Papal Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. And sit down with Cardinal Mario Grech, General Secretary of the Synod of Bishops, for an update on the upcoming Synod on Synodality. Vaticano starts now.
The big challenge of the city of Jerusalem, of Terra Santa, of the holy place, is to rejoice the fact that it has so many different people, to go back to our ancient traditions that dream for all of us, Jews, Christians, Muslims, a place where we are kind to each other. And every day at a time, one person and human being at a time, exercise our ability to do kindness and care and justice and peace.
On Thursday, May the 11th, an important interreligious meeting took place at the Palazzo delle Rovere in Rome, the headquarters of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre. The meeting was between religious representatives of the three great Abrahamic faiths, titled The Holy Land, A Place of Encounter. The event featured Cardinal Gianfranco Ravasi, a biblical scholar and former president of the Pontifical Council for Culture, who spoke on the three sacred stones of Jerusalem, starting from Psalm 102, verse 15, the stones of Zion are dear to your servants.
La Terra Santa è considerata spesso.
The Holy Land is often considered a land that is marked by blood. Even in these days, politics so many times in history has caused religions, which although they have this common basis of theirs, to clash. And that is why on these occasions it is relevant that there is the possibility of a meeting.
Che ci sia la possibilità di un incontro.
Tel Aviv Rabbi Tamar Elad Applebaum, one of the most important female religious leaders in Israel promoting pluralism, spoke on the theme, Jerusalem and the Holy Land, Healing and Hope.
I think it's incredible that different people who come from completely different story are going to meet tonight in order to speak about what is dear to them. And the first thing is the ability of our voices to come together. You know, too many times we hear voices yelling at each other, making place for themselves on the expense of someone else. But apparently God brought us to this world knowing we have different voices, asking us whether we would be able, whether it would be possible to bring and join our voices together in a panoply of voices, imagining the world as harmony.
Also present on the panel was the Imam of the Mosque of Rome, Nader Akkad, who spoke on living in peace in Jerusalem, as brothers all, and the Bishop of Nazareth, Monsignor Rafik Nara, who gave a speech on unexpected encounters that change life, a personal experience.
I think that we as Christians, we as Catholics, the vocation of Catholicity is universality. But one dimension of that universality, as Pope Francis says too, is to create an atmosphere of brotherhood, a brotherhood with one another while remaining faithful to one's faith.
A clear theme throughout the evening was the desire for true dialogue and a meaningful pursuit of peace.
La parola fondamentale è proprio questa, dialogo.
The fundamental word here is dialogue, which is a word of Greek origin, which we use very often, indicating the meeting of two logos, that is, two discourses. So two are then components. If we want to use a musical image, we could say that in a time in which the duel is favored, the much more suggestive clash would be the duet, as it happens in music when a bass and a soprano, who are two different voices, preserve their identity but come into harmony.
Sono due voci diverse, conservano la loro identità, ma entrano in armonia.
As the news cycles continue to churn, and with each headline showing more pain and suffering coming from the Holy Land, it's easy to lose hope and turn to despair. But seeing all this from Nazareth, Bishop Rafik Nara continues to have hope, because with faith and dialogue, peace is possible.
Pour moi, en tout cas à Nazareth.
For me, the mission of Nazareth is to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim Christ so that Christ is in the heart of our faithful, and that this gives them the courage and the will to dialogue with others.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from Pope Francis and the Vatican. On Mother's Day, Pope Francis entrusted all mothers, including those in heaven, to the Virgin Mary, the Mother of Jesus. Now the Holy Father asked the crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square for a round of applause to celebrate all mothers. Now Francis added that he was also turning to the Virgin Mary to ask her to alleviate the suffering of the battered Ukraine and of all the nations wounded by war and violence. Now Pope Francis issued a new constitution of the Vatican City State that further emphasizes the power of the Pope over the sovereign state. Now the new constitution, called the Fundamental Law of Vatican City State, is the third in history and replaces a law promulgated by St. John Paul II in 2000. Now the first constitution was issued in 1929 following the signing of the Lateran Pacts, which founded the city-state of the Vatican and guaranteed its sovereignty. Now the pontiff expressed his sorrow over the legalization of euthanasia in Portugal. Now I am very sad because in the country where Our Lady appeared, a law to kill has been enacted, Pope Francis said, May 13th at the Vatican. Now it is one more step in the long list of countries with euthanasia, he added. Now Portugal's parliament voted May 12th to allow medically assisted suicide in limited cases. Pope Francis and the President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, met at the Vatican. Now the encounter, their first since Russia initiated war in Ukraine over 14 months ago, was around 40 minutes long. Now, the Holy See Press Office said Francis and Zelensky spoke about the humanitarian and political situation in Ukraine amid the conflict. Now, the official press statement states, "The Pope particularly stressed the urgent need for gestures of humanity toward the most fragile people, the innocent victims of the conflict." During his Regina Coeli address, Pope Francis prayed that the recently signed ceasefire between Israelis and Palestinians will be maintained and that the weapons will be silenced. Now, the pontiff spoke hours after a truce between Israel and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, or PIJ, militants in Gaza went into effect. Now, the Egyptian-mediated ceasefire aims to end a recent surge of violence in Gaza this week that left at least 33 Palestinians and at least two people in Israel dead, according to the Associated Press. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. My name is Benjamin Crockett for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. On April the 29th, 2023, the Papal Basilica of St. Paul Outside the Walls bore witness to an extraordinary concert, The Dream of Gerontius, the masterpiece of the English composer Edward Elgar, based on a poem by St. John Henry Newman. In 1889, Elgar received Newman's text, a bestseller of that time, as a wedding gift. After 8 years of assiduous and deep reading, the composer decided to give melodic form and substance to the events narrated in the poem.
The Dream of Gerontius is a wonderful piece of eschatology. We know that Gerontius means just an old man, a man who is dying. And in the poem, Newman describes what happens when Gerontius dies, how the priest accompanies him, prays, and other people pray, and then he passes away, and then the soul begins the turning towards God. And this is just magnificent, how Newman was able to make out of that a poem, imagining how the guardian angel would help that soul to find the right way, how the soul would be challenged, he said, by demons even, how angels would help and accompany the soul. And then at the end, the soul arrives before God and is then judged in one instant. And then the soul realizes that the soul is not yet ready to contemplate God in his glory and in his holiness. And then is, so to say, released in the purgatory. Has to be purified to be able then really to contemplate God in his holiness and love.
The oratorio, The Dream of Gerontius, would mark a point of encounter between two central figures of the artistic, cultural, and religious life of Great Britain of the end of the 19th century. Edward Elgar, son of a Protestant father and Catholic mother, received a Catholic education. For his part, John Henry Newman was an Anglican priest who, after years of discernment, ended up converting to Catholicism.
John Henry Newman is a saint now. He has been canonized by Pope Francis about 4 years ago. And we all know that he was an Anglican and a great, very well-known professor in Oxford, and tried to renew the Church of England. And then by God's providence was led into the Catholic Church. And in the Church, he also tried to contribute to the building up of the Catholic Church above all in England, and wrote wonderful books, and was really a great pastor. I would say a man who foresaw our times, above all the difficulties in faith that we would have to challenge. And he tried to respond by a strong faith, by really a great capacity of theology, and by his really immense love for souls.
With this concert, the organizers wished to emphasize the message of ecumenism and dialogue contained within the musical composition, The Dream of Gerontius. And for this extraordinary occasion, they counted on the participation of the British Parliament Choir.
There will be a number of members of both Houses of Parliament, so both the House of Lords and the House of Commons. But then what's wonderful about this is that it's not just our parliamentarians, it's also everyone that works within the parliamentary complex can be a part of the choir, which is, I mean, you wouldn't want 300 MPs to come and sing to you, because I'm not sure that enough of them can sing. So they will be here. And I think this is a really good moment for us in the United Kingdom to be thinking about the importance of music, because of course next week is the King's coronation, and already there is great excitement, including about the music that will be performed during that ceremony. And that ceremony is about the very essence of the state which I represent here and the King who I represent here. And so you're absolutely right, music brings us all together and allows us to receive a sort of almost a spiritual uplifting. And that's what I hope that our guests here tonight will get from this extraordinary poem by St. John Henry Newman and this extraordinary music by Edward Elgar.
The Dream of Gerontius is presented to the world as the perfect synthesis of the splendor of the English Catholic culture from the last third of the 19th century and the first half of the 20th century.
Thank you. Grazie per la vostra presenza.
Cardinal Mario Grech is the Secretary General of the Synod on Synodality and is tasked with organizing this assembly of bishops in October of 2023. EWTN Vatican Bureau Chief Andreas Stonehauser sat down with him and discussed where the preparations on the Synod stand.
Could you share with us a little bit your personal hopes, objectives? What will be your wish for the outcome also of the Synod?
Listen, I never expected that I was going to get engaged in such a very spiritual, ecclesial experience. And now I find myself, the Holy Father called me to take part in this process, in this particular office, accompanying the Church on its reflection on the Church itself. So a synodal Church for mission. This really gives me hope and joy.
You have been asking people from around the world also to contribute, to participate also in this process. Are there any engaging, inspiring concepts of evangelization?
Mission and synodality are the two faces of the same coin. No? So we need a synodal church in order to be more effective in our mission. And how can be really effective today if all the people of God becomes conscious that we are all subjects of evangelization? That evangelization is not restricted only to a special class, a special group. Everybody is invited, or better still, must feel duty-bound to announce Jesus to humanity today.
There has been, of course, also criticism of the Synod on synodality. Is there any criticism that worries you where you say, well, this is actually something that I would really like to address?
First of all, I understand those who have doubts or fears or different point of views. For me, criticism is valuable, is a value, and it should help all in our discernment process. Then to your question, I have my fears as well. No? For example, those who are opposing the people of God and the hierarchy. No? Because the fact that now in this synodal process, everyone was allowed to raise his voice. Some might think that we are on a way leading to a sort of a democracy. The Church is not a democracy. The Church is hierarchical.
Issues such as same-sex marriage, as abortion. How should the Synod on Synodality help address some of those so-called hot-button issues?
So it is true what you are saying. I mean, during the first phase of consultation or listening phase, various issues were raised, as you are underlining. But, and at one point, me and Cardinal Jean-Claude Olerich, the general relator for this synod, we sent a letter to all bishops, and when we sent to those bishops, to all the churches, highlighting the fact that the theme of this particular synod is for a synodal church. Other issues will not be discarded. I mean, we will put them on the back burner, but they are not issues that should be tackled by this particular synodal assembly.
Your task also, even of communicating and explaining the synodal process, has not necessarily become easier with a parallel process here in Europe that has also raised a lot of attention. I'm speaking of the German synodal path. What is your take on that?
Unfortunately, no, the synodal path in Germany sent negative vibes in all the church. I was in Africa, I was in Bangkok, no, and I listened to people who were a bit hesitant, no? Worried.
I mean, about what was taking place in Germany. I mean, that was, which is, it is not a synod in Germany. It's a synodal journey, synodal wag, they call it, no? Canonically, it's not neither a diocesan nor a national synod, as far as I know, no? But again, they are two different ecclesial experiences, but they are not, bishops are not autonomous. Bishops form part of a college of bishops. And there are issues that belong to the whole church that need to be addressed by all the bishops together, together with Peter.
So those proposals in Germany that have been voted on as well, adopted, and there were demands that this is being added to the agenda of the synod.
No, because I, as I told you, I mean, they are two different experiences, no? I really believe that this moment of grace will help us to become more spiritual, because the winds of the world, no, can blow also in the church, and we have to pay attention. We don't have an agenda. The agenda is already set, but set in the gospel, set by Jesus Christ, and we have to do our reflection, listen to the word of God in the light of tradition, in the light of the magisterium. We are not starting a fresh page today as nothing happened in the past. We need to make more time for prayer, to be able to kneel down in the presence of the Lord.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano. How does one prepare for the priesthood in the modern world? What can studying in Rome teach you that no other place can? For the next few weeks, we'll be spending some time with seminarians from the Pontifical North American College in Rome as they bring us into their world.
In baptism, we use your gift of water, which you have made a rich symbol of the grace you give us in this sacrament. At the very dawn of creation, your Spirit breathed on the waters, making them the wellspring of all holiness. The waters of the great flood you made a sign of the waters of baptism that make an end of sin and a new beginning of goodness. We ask you, Father, with your Son, to send the Holy Spirit upon the water of this font. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Elena Sofia Veronica, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He now anoints you with the chrism of salvation. As Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as members of his body, sharing everlasting life. Amen. Amen.
Well, gentlemen, my heart is full of gratitude for what you do in your apostolates, in the mission, the ministry that you're about, in bringing the good news to the people of God. I really can't thank you enough. And I know that from these experiences, you're going to be a great priest back in your home diocese. You'll really be able to bring that message because of the experiences you've had here to really shape you as a person of Jesus Christ for the needs of his kingdom.
It's a great place to be formed, to be a priest.
It's a constant conversion that needs to take place every day. It's that training of the heart.
I believe God can use anything for his glory. hope to be someone who's open and available to the needs of others.
God is real, and if he's real and he loves me, that's everything.